Our lesson tonight is out of Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8, God's comprehensive provision by Christ's resurrection for the women at the tomb. It's interesting, as we're going through the Gospel of Mark, we're looking at it just from one perspective, and that is as a teaching tool to other people, the lesson that John Mark learned in regards to service, and that is being faithful even though we face difficulties in Christian service. Mark chapter 16, 1 to 8. Now, Mark's gospel was written indeed by a man who was rebounding from having abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey, in Acts chapter 13, verse 13, due to his faithlessly mishandling some unspecified difficulty. We really don't know what the difficulty was. It was something, and that bothered him. That difficulty may have involved a hardship Mark faced that seemed too humanly daunting for him to handle. Obviously, that's the case because he quit. Christ's resurrection power met a very practical series of superhuman needs for the women who first appeared at the tomb to anoint Jesus' body, and it applies to addressing our needs of similar difficulties today. I'd like to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Mark chapter 16, 1-8. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning on the first day of the week, that Sunday, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they had said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very large. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted, or they were terrified. And he said unto them, "Be not terrified. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he said to you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Very interesting passage of Scripture. Although Jesus arose from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion, death, and burial, when that third day actually began, it was anything but a day of spiritual victory for the women who later came to the tomb. It's interesting that first Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph had seen where Jesus' body was hurriedly laid by Joseph of Arimathea the day or 2 days before. So they knew additional spices needed to be poured over the body to counteract the odor of decay and for them to express their loving devotion to the Lord Jesus. The Jews did not prepare bodies like we do today. The bodies today, the organs are taken out and so forth. Often formaldehyde is pumped in and so forth, so the body can be preserved for a period of time. But they actually put the body in the grave very, very quickly. And they had anointed Jesus' body, and they had to hurry up with it. They didn't have a complete job, but they had to get it in the tomb before the Sabbath so they wouldn't violate the Sabbath. So they needed to finish this. And these ladies had been bothered for all the time that the body was in there, that the body hadn't been fully prepared. And so they were concerned about taking care of the situation. Second, the arrival of the Sabbath right after the interment of Jesus' body made the need to anoint it all the more urgent, for the body would start to putrefy a whole day without the anointing. And that would create a problem. Mark chapter 16, 1. I had make it Mark 16, 11. It should be Mark 16, 1. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome had purchased sweet spices. Now, remember, the Sabbath would be passed at sundown, and the market would be open. Often the markets would be open just a little bit then, so they could hurry up and buy something. And that would be, it would be our time Friday after the sun had set. So they could hurry up and buy something at that particular time. Third, the women did not know. They did not know that a Roman guard had been set before the tomb by Pontius Pilate to keep the stone door from being moved, and that would be a huge obstacle to their even anointing Jesus' body. If I go back to Matthew chapter 27. We learn about this incident. Matthew chapter 27, verse 62 and following. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said that while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again." I think it's amazing that the enemies of Christ were more aware of what he'd predicted than the disciples. The disciples missed it, but the enemies knew. "Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He is risen from the dead.' So the last error shall be worse than the first." Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Now let me describe what goes on with the sealing of a stone. Josh McDowell, in his book, A Ready Defense, describes this. The stone was rolled, of course, over the surface of the tomb. And to seal it, they had a string that went from the side of the tomb, across the stone, across the back of the stone, and down to the other side. And then they sealed it with wax. Hot wax would stick the string to the stone. And the wax had a seal with it, with Pilate's ring, the seal of Rome. Now, if that stone moved a quarter of an inch, it would break the seal, because these seals were very sensitive. Anybody who broke the seal was to be crucified. All right? Now, the soldiers who guarded the tomb, this was a special guard. This was at the time when the soldiers were trained to the greatest extent in the Roman army. Normally, you had eight soldiers, and four soldiers would be on guard at any moment. The other four soldiers would be sleeping. And they would be on guard, and then they would sleep, and they would rotate on shifts. And these soldiers had been trained to defend an area 36 square feet indefinitely for 2 days. If they had to fight constantly for 2 days, they could defend that area. Now, there's no way that these ladies bringing spices were going to be able to persuade these men to break the seal, get into the tomb, roll the tomb back, and anoint the body of Jesus. They didn't even know that this had been set, because the soldiers themselves would be crucified if that seal was broken, if they allowed it to be broken. They were not going to let any ladies break the seal. So these ladies didn't even know how bad the obstacle was. It was much greater than what they themselves could handle. Now, the stone that covered this tomb, stone tomb's door entrance, was very large. In fact, it's been estimated that the stone weighed between 1.5 to 2 tons. The stones were often about a foot wide, a foot to maybe 14 inches, and it had to cover a door between 4.5 to 5 feet tall, and these are large round stones. They actually weighed the weight of a pickup. Now, these stones had been uphill, and they were rolled downhill, and they landed against a wedge. I don't know too many ladies, four or five ladies together, that could take a pickup truck and push it uphill, all right, at that time in the morning anyway. I don't know too many men that could do that. But this is a very heavy stone. So, I mean, the obstacles for these ladies anointing the body of Jesus were enormous. And then, fifth, Jesus' disciples were in a state of spiritual defeat. Peter had 3 times denied the Lord, and the others had abandoned Jesus at his arrest, events that would have discouraged these women. We know that all of the disciples abandoned Jesus in Mark 14:50. And in Mark 14:53 to 72, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. Sixth, and most significantly, the fact that Jesus had died signified in the minds of these women that he was not the Messiah, creating not only doubt in their hearts, but confusion and a loss of direction in life. You can imagine Mary Magdalene had been exorcised of 7 demons. And she had believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, because of the theological viewpoint they had as Jews, they didn't believe that he would be the Messiah, but they did believe that he would have at least been a messenger of God because of the fact that he'd done all these miracles. But they were in a state of confusion. They were hurt, and they were just going through the motions, doing what they felt was the necessary thing to do. They were shocked. Well, regardless of these obstacles, each of them were removed by Christ's resurrection that day. First of all, when they had purchased their spices and were bringing them to the tomb, they suddenly realized that they'd not planned for help in rolling away the huge stone that covered the tomb's door. Now, this is a very human reaction, but think of it. For 2 days, these ladies were very concerned about Jesus' body not having been properly anointed, fully anointed. So they were concerned about waiting till the Sabbath was over and thinking about what store they were going to go to so they could buy it. So that they're thinking about everything except rolling the tombstone, the stone away from the tomb. Very human, but very common situation. You just don't think about it. I'll never forget one time. There was a sink we had in Africa, and it was overflowing. And my mom got real excited, so she got a mop, and she was trying to mop it up. Well, the water was still running in the sink. And Dad came and said, "Madge, turn the water off first. It'll be easier." "Oh, of course." So she turned the water off, and it was easier. You know, she could actually start cleaning it up. But she was so concerned about getting the water up, she didn't think about turning it off. So, but this is a typical human reaction. You're in a state of shock, and so you don't think and think through it until they're on their way to the tomb. Well, upon getting to the tomb, though, and also they hadn't known that a Roman guard had been set up to keep the door from being moved. Nevertheless, upon arriving at the tomb, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away. And we know from Matthew's gospel that an angel of the Lord came and rolled it away. And he rolled it away so people could get in. Jesus didn't need to get out. He went through the tomb. He went right through the tomb, the stone. But you have to have the tomb open so people can get in and see that he's risen. Well, upon entering the tomb, they saw an angel from heaven who sat at Jesus, who said that Jesus had risen, that he was not there, and that the women could view where they had previously seen him, laid by Joseph of Arimathea, and see that he wasn't there. See, if you skip back up to verse 47, actually verse 46 and 47 of chapter 15, it says, "And he," that's Joseph of Arimathea, "purchased fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in the sepulcher, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid." So these ladies knew that he'd lay there. They had actually seen the body lay there and seen the stone put over the tomb. So they knew exactly where Jesus' body was. But the angel said, "Come, he's not here." We visited what we believe is the tomb in which Jesus had been buried. And there is an area to sit, both at the right and the left-hand side. In fact, at the right-hand side, hurriedly, there had been some more rock that had been chiseled out at the back of the rock so that a body about 6 feet long could lie in it instead of a body 5.5 feet long. Some think that Jesus therefore might have been actually around 6 feet tall. We don't know. But it was hurriedly done, so the body that was actually laid there was actually a body that had not been designed for that tomb. And that would be a very authentic thing because this tomb had been designed for Joseph of Arimathea. But another man was laid there, the Lord Jesus was laid there. It's very interesting. Anyway, there was this angel who was there. It's interesting that he appears as a young man, and there's youthfulness, and of course he's the angel's appearing this way because Jesus is risen in newness of life, and there's vigor in the resurrection body and so forth. So the angel is playing with the tune of the day, and that is newness of life in Jesus' resurrection. So upon entering the tomb, they saw the angel, and saw that Jesus wasn't there, and the women could view where they had previously seen him by Joseph of Arimathea as he laid him there. And of course, this event solved several problems. First of all, the resurrection made the unpleasant task of anointing Jesus' dead body no longer a necessity. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't have to deal with a dead body. The body's risen. Second, the women did not have to use the spices that they'd bought, but they could save them. There's probably going to be a funeral sometime later, so they could save it. So there's no cost to them. Third, the resurrection with the presence of the angel had caused the Roman guards to leave the tomb to speak to their superiors. So the women who followed Jesus were left unthreatened there. In Matthew 28:1-4, it says that the angel, when he rolled away the stone, he terrified the Roman soldiers and they became like dead men. They fainted. And then in verse 11, they got up and they went into the city to talk to their superiors to explain to them what had happened. Well, with the soldiers gone, the women weren't threatened. They didn't know that there had been a guard there. They never needed to know. God had protected the ladies even from the soldiers. And then the angel continued to speak with the women, encouraging them to tell Jesus' disciples and Peter that regardless if they had abandoned him, he was still going ahead of them into Galilee where he wanted to meet them there. So in place of disillusionment and aimlessness with the death of the Messiah, the angel now gave them his directions as foretold in his earthly ministry, providing direction and hope. Jesus is still the Messiah. He rose from the dead. And Jesus is telling them, I want you to go to Galilee. He's already told you, he predicted that before he died, go to Galilee, he wants to see you. And what Jesus was going to tell them in Galilee is that go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's Matthew 28, 19 and 20, where he spoke to 500 people at one time. And then notice how the angel included Peter. Did you get that? In verse 7, it says, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. Why? Peter denied the Lord. And the angel of God did not want the disciples to think that because Peter had denied the Lord that he's no longer a disciple. Tell the disciples and Peter. Peter's included. So it's wonderful that the Lord here included Peter with the disciples in spite of the fact that he denied the Lord three times. This news gave hope of forgiveness and restoration after defeat, not only for Peter, but for all of the disciples, because all of them had abandoned the Lord Jesus. This is probably the greatest triumph of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a triumph over sin. There's victory available through the cross of Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we live in the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these events were initially too overwhelming for the women to handle, so they fled from the tomb. They told no one what they had witnessed, and they signaled, and this signaled, of course, the overwhelming power of Christ's resurrection provisions. Sometimes the way the Lord works and the way the Lord provides for us is so overwhelming we can't handle it. And so that's where these women were. They couldn't handle it. They were terrified, so they ran away. But this is put in here to demonstrate the tremendous power that God exhibited when he raised his son from the dead. So each problem that the women faced en route to the tomb was removed by the power of Jesus' resurrection, teaching all believers in church history to rely on the risen Lord and his power to handle superhuman trials. So, may we rely on our risen Lord to remove every superhuman obstacle we face in living for him. Many years ago, after I'd come to Nepaug Church, there was a man who had been attending our church here at Nepaug Church before my time, and he had decided not to be here anymore. And this man made a comment to someone who was in the church, and the comment went like this: Don Shell doesn't know it, but he's taken a dying church. The church that he's beginning to pastor is a dying church. That was back in 1982. We're still alive, all right? And not only are we still alive, but our treasurer said we had $4,000 come in today. In addition to the $23,000, we're going to end up with over $27,000 at the end of the year in the black. Our missionaries are paid up. So if we're a dying church, I don't know when it's going to happen. You know, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ has worked wonders in our church over the years, and it's just wonderful to see. And it's a testimony to the resurrection power of the Lord. The Lord sometimes has worked in ways that go beyond what we can even think and ask. And so God wants us to trust him. We serve a risen Lord, and he's a coming king. And God wants us to continue as we go out of the year 2015 and go into the year 2016. He wants us to go in the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, not only for our church as our life as a church, but for our individual lives as Christians, so that as we face trials that come up and difficulties that come up, we'll be able to look to him for victory and power.